Thank you. So this presentation is based on joint work with Geisa Meisena, and this actually this is based on a paper that appeared already 2 years ago, but still I hope it's relevant and interesting to you, and possibly not all of you have already read this article. So I'll first do some introduction, then present this specific metapopulation model that we are studying, and then results about both ecological coexistence and evolutionary analysis, and finally some parameter dependence on the model, and then some conclusions. So the question in niche theory often is that, as we have noticed, that each species needs some kind of a niche, but and then there's this principle of competitive exclusion, that if you are too similar, then these species cannot coexist. But then there's also theory of disturbances, that if you have some kind of mechanism creating disturbances in the system, then possibly this competition between species can be weakened, and therefore more species can coexist. And especially in a model of competition-colonization trade-off, if you think that there is a, if there's a constant environment, then you can be some either a R or a K individual, or to be more precise, better competitor, so-called K strategist from the carrying capacity, then those will outcompete those who are good colonizers, also called ruderals or R strategists. But if there is a disturbance, that some local subpopulations are destroyed regularly, then not all these best competitors, they will not outcompete always, but maybe these colonizers are better, because then they can colonize these emptied subpopulations faster than the competitors, then there might be some kind of coexistence. And to that extent, that in a paper by Tillman, then these parameters describing over-colonization can be set freely, and as a result, even infinitely many or arbitrarily many species can coexist. But as we heard today from talk of Geisa, that there is still this principle of robust coexistence, so how can this be in this model? So one problem in this Tillman model is that it is not mechanistic, so these parameters of over-colonization, they're just freely to be set, and therefore what we don't wanted to do here is to do more mechanistic basis, that what does over-colonization mean? So to be precise, we study a structured metapopulation model. We really explicitly study the population sciences, local population dynamics, so that competition and colonization really mean, are defined in the terms of individuals doing some specific behavior affecting their fecundity, reproduction, survival, all these life history traits. So then what actually mean as a metapopulation? So that is population in general live in fragmented landscapes, so that metapopulation, it means that there are different habitat patches, and there are some dispersal routes between these patches. So in total, metapopulation is a collection of local populations, and these have been studied in the literature quite a while. Especially here, I assume that there is an infinite number of patches. Well, that is kind of a technical assumption. What we gain with this assumption is that we can study the local population dynamics and also disturbances or catastrophes in an accurate way. And there is a global dispersal. So then individuals, when they emigrate, they go to a dispersal pool and then immigrate randomly to a patch, and so that we don't actually have a patch like location structure, so that with equal probability you will end up in any other patch. And in this case we have defined local dynamics in discrete time. And on the metapopulation level we study what is the distribution of local population sizes, and also then we need to count that what is the dispersal pool size, that how many individuals are dispersing at each time. And then more precisely, then we have to model local growth, so that is birth and death, which happens in patches. And here function f describes fecundity, so that is the amount of offspring that an individual will get on average. In case it has strategy S, and the local population size currently in this local population is XT. Then there is dispersal, that is emigration to this dispersal pool, and then immigration back to patches. So we have here that the population size in this patch in the next time step is first population size this year or this season times fecundity, so that is the amount of offspring they will get. 1 minus d is the fraction who stay in the patch, and then it is the amount of individuals immigrating to all patches, so also to this patch. And this is provided that a catastrophe does not happen in the patch. So in addition, we have catastrophes, and that means that with probability mu, any patch will be, so the local population will be destroyed, so the population size is set to zero, but the patch remains habitable, so that it can be recolonized by dispersers from this dispersal pool. And details of this metapopulation model can be found in this article, and but we also explain those in this other article where what this talk is based on. Then we have a trade-off. So now we are studying the competition-colonization trade-off. We have a specific form of this fecundity function, so that there is R and K. R, so the R is the amount of offspring what you get in an almost empty, sorry, virgin environment when there is no competition, and K is the carrying capacity, so that it measures that what would be the equilibrium population size what this strategy will reach if it's alone in the system. And there we also assume some kind of trade-off, so that strategy describes that how close you are to be a R strategist or a K strategist in with these functions. So here you notice that if S is zero, then you have a very small value of R but big value of K, and when you increase the value of S, then your R will increase but K will decrease. And here you have some examples of how these can be set up in the KR space, and here it depends on the trade-off parameter beta, that does it have a linear or convex or concave shape. But the actual shape of, so the functional form of this fecundity function, that is not so important. The shape is more important. And here we have just illustrated, here we have 4 different traits. For example, on this, if we have chosen beta equals 0.7, then the carrying capacities and R looks like that. And that's for some specific reason I will show in a while. So then the question that we want to address in this model is that how many species or traits can actually coexist in this model, either in an ecological equilibrium or further, that when can this coexistence be also evolutionarily stable? So then we have this, that are they really occupying niches? Are we on the shore, or are we on the hilltop? And now, if we don't have a spatial setting, so then the highest carrying capacity would win. But now, when we have these catastrophes, now this is a concrete model where we can expect to have some kind of possible coexistence of R and K strategies, or maybe even more. We'll see in a moment that to which extent we can have a coexistence. So first, about ecological coexistence. Here we have an illustration of these 4 strategies that I showed in the trade-off plot earlier. Then this what we have here is the patch age. Now, patch age means that how many years has it occurred after the last catastrophe happened in this patch. So, of course, if a catastrophe happens, then the population size initially will be zero. And after that, we can have a first type coming to colonize. And now here, we see one graph going up and then down. Now, this is local population size. And this is the one with highest value of S, that is the highest colonizer in the sense that it has the highest value of R. It first increases, but then starts to get down while the second best R starts to now get over it. So it for this one, it took longer to arrive because it has poorer R, but because it has higher K, it can outcompete this type. So it starts to rise up, but then it starts to go down again when the third one goes up, and then that goes down again, and then finally the fourth one is the one which will stay in the patch eventually, well, provided that this patch is not experiencing a catastrophe. And here, with this bold curve, we see the survival probability, that what is the probability that a patch will survive up to this age. Yes?
3 minutes.
No, I had 25 in total.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay.
So then this is the one who will stay there, so if the patch will live for a long time. And this is now illustrating ecological coexistence. And you can think of this like if we have a like forest fire somewhere, maybe you have first grass appearing, then small bushes, then larger trees, and finally if there's no forest fire a long time, then we'll have very, very tall trees, and maybe this strategy could be that that type. Then this graph illustrates now fecundities of these four types as a function of the patch age. And as you see here, the first one has the best fecundity initially, and then this one is the one who has the best fecundity in the end when the patch is long-lived. And the next question is that now, so in a metapopulation equilibrium, what we have found, it is that the population size distribution is constant, but of course each local population changes in time. So this must be viewed from the top. It's not equilibrium in one patch. It's the collection. Is it a metapopulation dynamical equilibrium? So we have found this coexistence of four strategies, but is this robust and is it evolutionally stable? And for that, we need some evolutionary analysis, and for that I've used the adaptive dynamics framework, and we have already heard about this, for example, in the talk of Ulf. And especially an important concept there is the invasion fitness. So what is the long-term exponential growth rate of a rare mutant in an environment set by a resident or several residents? And then if fitness is positive, then a mutant can possibly invade and replace the resident. And this is then next we can calculate the selection gradient. So that is with small mutational steps, that where is this strategy going to probably evolve. And so if you have a positive selection gradient, so here we have one example of a fitness function. And we have fitness gradient here is positive, that is the slope of this curve. So then higher strategies are expected to invade this resident strategy. And one tool to illustrate evolution in one-dimensional traits is a pairwise invasibility plot, where first this is a three-dimensional plot of fitness. If this is the resident strategy and this is the mutant strategy, then we can calculate that what is the invasion fitness of a mutant. But from the point of view asking that, is innovation possible or not, it's enough to know that is fitness positive or negative. So therefore, from this plot, we go to this plot only by we show the areas of plus and minuses. And from that, we can tell what is the sign of the fitness gradient and where we are expected to go. For example, in this case, well, this is quite similar to some earlier graphs that you have seen. Starting from here, a fitness gradient is positive. These are the ones who can invade. It corresponds to this point here, so we have plus here. This is the next point, so this point here corresponds to this one. These are the ones who can invade. And finally, we have here an evolutionally stable strategy that is unbeatable. It's also possible to have branching points that starting from this point here, these can invade. This is the next one, these can invade, but this is a fitness minimum. So then the population will split up to two parts and they start to diverge these strategies. But also, and then this branching can result, for example, in a dimorphic coalition. So this is an illustration of unbeatable strategy coalition of two strategies. And this is very similar to what we have already seen. But as a side remark, I would like to remind you that it's not always that that we end up in an evolutionally stable strategy or branching. It's also possible that that extinction results from evolution, that the population would be viable if it would not change its strategy, but because natural selection forces changes in the strategies, then this population evolves to a boundary in the viability region, and then finally a mutant that is not viable alone can invade and kill the whole population, both the resident and mutant. And this can be called a kamikaze mutant. So this evolutionary suicide has been experienced in many models, and it's kind of inverse from speciation. We know this is selection-driven sort of diversity decreases. But this I don't have in this model, just wanted to have this in this context. So then back to the actual metapopulation model. This illustrates the fitness landscape in the ecological setup of these four strategies that I have illustrated. You notice that here we have four peaks, so that this coexistence indeed is evolutionally stable. But then how can we obtain such a coalition? How do we find that? And that is the next topic. So there are several methods for this. One method is to have an evolutionary simulation, start from a single strategy, and then allow mutations to occur, and then run the population dynamics for a long time, then add new mutants, and then take those out whose population size has dropped to zero. And then what we can experience is, for example, when time goes on, here we have one event of evolution branching, so we have a dimorphic population, then another evolution branching, and this is the same graph, now a little bit different time scale, so that we have even a fourth event of evolution branching, and we end up with these four strategies, which are exactly the same which I showed you in the beginning. So this kind of cascade of starting from one strategy with mutation and selection, we can end up in an evolutionally stable strategy coalition. Another method, what we can use is fitness-based. That is, we start calculating a pairwise invasibility plot, and here we see a singular strategy, which is a branching point, that is, it's invadable by all mutants. Then from that, we can calculate so-called set of protective dimorphisms, or P2 graph, like here. That is, we invert this with respect to the diagonal and plot the points that are mutually invadable, so protected coexistence. And then we plot the sign of the fitness gradient, which is now two-dimensional, and then see that where we are expected to go from this point. And here, and also here, because it's of course mirror symmetric, because it doesn't matter that do I call U number one and U number two, or the other way around. So here we have a evolutionary singular strategy, which is convergence stable, but if we plot invasion fitness in this setup, it looks like this. We have one fitness maximum but one fitness minimum, so we experience another evolution branching. And then here we have again three morphic singularity, and then again this is a minimum and this is a minimum. Then we have again branching, and finally we end up with this coexistence of four traits. It's also possible to start from a kind of seed bank evolution, sort of assume that all strategies are present in the beginning, well, of course, with some discretization for practical reasons, and then see that where the population dynamics, that which will be stay there. And this is this kind of plot, what we can then see, and again, the same four strategies will remain. So this is again with the same parameter values. So then the question about parameter dependence, that and then how many strategies can actually coexist in the model. Here is one illustration with respect to the average patch age. So now mu is the catastrophe probability, so then 1 over mu is the average age at how long can a patch live, well, figuratively speaking. So then if patch age is short, we have lots of disturbances, so then the best competitor is expected to win, and that is indeed the case. So there we have this thick curve is the average strategy, and here it is actually alone then in the limit if patch age goes to zero. But then when we increase patch age, then we have more and more possibility for coexistence. Here we have four traits, here even five traits. But then this curve here, that is the standard deviation of this strategy distribution. And for visibility reasons, it's multiplied with 10 so that we can actually see it better there. So it has a peak here and then starts to decrease again. And then for computational reasons, it's not so easy to calculate this graph much further, but you can easily imagine that if you increase the patch age longer and longer and longer, then finally then the best competitor will win. And that we also see from this black curve going closer and closer, the best competitor. Then so this actually repeats what I said, so that high disturbance rate, this is where the best colonizer win. Here, the best competitor wins. And with intermediate disturbances, we have a maximum, at least in the sense of highest variation. Then another graph, so with respect to trade-off structure, then just to show you that it's this coexistence of several traits is robust, then here is one, so the maximum is around this value, again here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in total. But, or you know, notice, not more than 5. So by fine-tuning the parameters of the model, we can't boost coexistence up to infinite. And if we would call 5 infinite, that would be quite something. So really small number, not even really large number of coexistence, but something moderately small, but still, of course, well, more than 1. And another graph for parameter dependence. Here we have the dispersal probability. So there we notice that the more there is dispersal, the more there is mixing, and therefore we will have less coexistence of several traits. So then if there's lots of mixing, then the best competitor will win. And finally, to conclude, that these disturbances, they generate that kind of niche segregation, that then several traits can coexist in the metapopulation, but not infinitely many, a small number. And this, on the other hand, this patch lifetime must be long enough that there can be these successional steps of overcoming the previous one, but not too long so that we don't make the niche best for the best competitor. So we have intermediate disturbance rates give the sort of the maximum possibility for species coexistence, like in a paper by Connell about rainforest and coral reefs. And finally, thank you for your attention. And here, some literature.
Thank you.